Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if I were to say that Jesus' love is like a chicken, it just doesn't sound right. Jesus' love is like a chicken. Now, often when we think about our Lord Jesus, if we were to have an image of an animal, I think the first image that comes to my mind is a lion. Like from C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion which is not safe, but he's good. Revelation 5:5 speaks about the Lion of Judah. But Jesus' love like a chicken? Well, our gospel lesson for today gives a picture of the love of Jesus like a chicken. And it's an amazing picture. And I want to talk about some of that today. And in so doing, I want to talk about the love of Jesus, the tenacious and tender love of Jesus. That word tenacious, meaning persistent in maintaining or adhering to something valued or desired. That is the love of your Savior, tenacious and tender. And if you've known chickens, believe it or not, chickens are can show tenacious and tender love. I grew up with chickens, and I remember this one chicken who was guarding her eggs, and she had about 10 eggs, and she was sitting on them, and she would fight away the dogs because she cared about those eggs. Anyway, let's get into the text for today. And it actually begins before Jesus talks about hens and chickens as he's encountering a group we call the Pharisees. Luke chapter 13, 31 tells us, at that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, Jesus is, from what we understand, right now in the region where Herod is serving as tetrarch. His father separated out the land into three different locations, and Herod, his son, was in that location. Jesus was very likely northeast of the Dead Sea. He's not up in Galilee where he normally is, but he's not in Jerusalem yet either. He's sort of in the middle, in the region of Herod. Now, the question is, were these Pharisees trying to be helpful in warning Jesus about our friend Herod? Probably not. Remember, the Pharisees were the group of people which were highly educated individuals, and they wanted to keep the law really, really well. They seemed to be experts in keeping the rules and the regulations, but unfortunately, had become a burden because they'd added to the law, and they didn't like Jesus and some of the things that he said, and they were kind of jealous of Jesus as well. To give you a context leading up to this chapter, Luke chapter 11, we hear some of Jesus' difficult words. "Woe to you, Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves and people walk over them without knowing it." Needless to say, the Pharisees weren't too pleased with Jesus. He gave them a necessary rebuke, but just because you're being rebuked doesn't mean you like to hear it. Then, leading up into chapter 13, he speaks some difficult words. He went on his way, it says in Luke 13, 22, he went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out.'" Then, not long after, we have Jesus who is encountered by the Pharisees, who give what we might think could be a friendly warning, but probably not. I think they want Jesus away from that region, and they might be using Herod as a scare tactic. Now, which Herod was this? There were a number of different Herods. This Herod was a man by the name of Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. And who is Herod the Great? He's the one who ordered the killing of the babies in Bethlehem. So his son, Herod Antipas, is the one who's in the region, and the Pharisees are threatening Jesus with Herod. Herod Antipas is also the one who had John the Baptist killed. You might remember his party gone wrong, and John the Baptist's head ended up on a platter as a result. And so now they're threatening Jesus with Herod. But Jesus is not deterred. This is where we see the tenacity, the tenaciousness of Jesus, who will not be deterred, who will not be driven by other forces. Jesus responds, as Luke 13:32 tells us, and he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." You see, in Jerusalem, there's a fox in the hen house. But Jesus is not afraid of Herod, nor is he afraid of the Pharisees or anybody else. Nobody is going to deter Jesus from the mission that he has. Nobody is going to influence the divine timetable. Remember how Jesus would often say, "My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come." He will not be deterred by other forces, but he will carry out the plan in God the Father's time frame. And ultimately, we know that Jesus is headed in his time to Jerusalem to go to the cross. In the meanwhile, he's going to do miracles. He's going to proclaim the kingdom of God where and however he chooses, and nobody's going to deter him. Last week, we talked about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And none of the temptations could deter Jesus. Jesus appealed it over and over again to Scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. And we see the tenaciousness of Jesus who is going forward. And we must remember that he's going forward for your sake and my sake to the cross. So we see Jesus' tenaciousness as he's going towards Jerusalem. But we also see the tenderness of his love as he speaks about the city of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Notice how he repeats that word, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings, when David is speaking and lamenting about his son Absalom, he says, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom." In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus speaks to Martha, he says, "Martha, Martha." And a little later on in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus is speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus, he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" There's a care and an intention. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And what does that word Jerusalem mean? You might remember that Jerusalem means city of peace. Jerusalem means city of peace. Maybe you're starting to catch the irony of this. "Oh, you, city of peace, you who stone the prophets." And we know if we look at the history, as we look at the scriptures, we see over and over and over again, God would send his prophets to the people. And what would the people do? They would reject his word. God would call them in loving repentance. "Come, come back to me, return. Stop bowing down to trees and things and worship the Lord your God." But over and over and over again, the people refused. They would turn their backs. They would kill the prophets. And in our Old Testament lesson for today, nicely paired readings, our Old Testament reading, our friend Jeremiah is experiencing the lack of warm reception. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 12, it says, "Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent." He will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. And then he gives that amazing picture of the hen gathering her chicks. Now, how many of you grew up with chickens? Anybody have chickens? A number of you have had chickens. And chickens are pretty amazing creatures. We also had chickens, and none of our chickens had chicks. They were just egg layers. But I got to see some really neat videos of hens taking care of their chicks, and it's absolutely amazing. The hen spreads out her big wings, and she gathers all these fluffy little chicks underneath, and they're peeping, and she's protecting them, and they can get really tenacious, I'll tell you. I saw one where there's this dog, this curious dog, coming up to the hen, and she's gathering the chicks around, and all of a sudden she's just bristling up and puffing out her feathers, and that dog knows better than to mess with her. There's a cat that tries to get next to the chicks. Ooh, that was a bad idea. Bad move for the cat. Also, another beautiful one that I saw was this mother hen, and it's raining. It's just wet. And you see this wet hen. But her wings are spread out, and underneath her wet feathers are all these little chicks gathered underneath her wings as she's taking care of them, protecting them, sheltering them from the elements. Beautiful, tender, tenacious love. And Jesus, I don't know how he spoke it. I wish we could hear Jesus speak these words, but I'm sure it was with a longing. Oh, Jerusalem! With this longing, this desiring that these people, the covenant people, would relent and would listen and be comforted and stop trying to be under the weight of the Pharisaical laws, but come and experience Jesus' yoke. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And yet Jerusalem doesn't listen. One other thing about that, about the hens and chicks that I want to point out is in the Old Testament, this is a way in which God describes himself. In the Old Testament, the Psalms describe God this way. Psalm 36, verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57, verse 1 says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Psalm 91, verse 4 says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. This is the amazing, tender love that our God has. And Jesus, true God and true man, also demonstrates this tenacious and tender love, even towards a people that continue to reject him. This is significant. I believe, well, let me say it this way. God knows what you're going through as you experience the desire for your friends and family to come and know the Lord. There are many of us that have friends or family members who have turned away from the Lord or who don't know the Lord, and we are concerned about them. We want them to have a relationship with Christ. We want them to be with us in eternity before the heavenly throne of God, and we're concerned about them. And we pray and we ask God, please work in the life of my friend, in my relative. Please help them to turn back to you. Help them to see the truth of the gospel. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we may wonder, God, have you heard my prayer? Do you care? But we see from this text, yes, absolutely, Jesus cares. This is the Jesus that is still headed to Jerusalem, still headed to the cross, even though he knows that he's going to be rejected by many. He doesn't just abort the mission because Jerusalem's being difficult, but he's going to continue going. He says, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Where do we hear those words? At the triumphal entry, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey. It's from the Psalms, and they're quoting it. The Messiah is coming in, not to defeat the Romans as they expected, but to go to the cross to defeat sin, death, and the power of the devil. But Jesus goes on his way knowing that he's going to be spit upon and mocked and abused and placed with thorns, naked upon a cross. But Jesus continues to go forward. 1 Timothy tells us in chapter 2 that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And yes, some will reject him. That's the sad reality. But yet God continues to go to the cross. John 3:16, the classic gospel in a nutshell, says, "For God so loved the world." It didn't just say God loved some people in the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is the tenacious and tender love of your Lord that continues going to the cross, even though he knows that some will reject him. And we are grateful to our Lord, who has taken the punishment that we deserve, where we have rejected God, where we thought we knew better, where we thought that we could come before God with our own quote-unquote goodness, which is like filthy rags. So Jesus took your punishment upon the cross. All your sins wiped away. And our Lord stands risen. And his tenacious and tender love continues as the risen Lord in your life even now. I have to share with you a picture that I saw recently. An artist made this beautiful picture that really struck me. And this picture shows this young person who's curled up in a very dark, difficult place. And in the background is darkness. And there are words in the darkness. Words such as fear, hurt, wicked, unworthy, harmful, a whole list of very negative and words that come from the inside, lies that have been told by others, lies that we have told ourselves. And this person would be forlorn if it wasn't for a figure who has wrapped his arms and his giant wings around her. It's an amazing picture, a depiction of Jesus with giant wings as if guarding and protecting this individual. And this person, even though with blackness and darkness all around, is sheltered among the wings of Almighty God and protected from the storms. This is your Almighty God, who in the midst of the struggles and difficulties that you are going through now, he is the one who reminds you of his love and his faithfulness. That's why we continue to read the Word of God, so that we continue to hear the promises of our gracious Lord and how he is faithful, how he will take care of us, how he will provide at just the right time. So we take comfort in the tenacious and the tender love of our God. And what's beautiful is that our God uses individuals to share his tenacious and tender love with others. That's how God works. He works through you and me to share that tenacious and tender love to other people. And as we think about that, I want to talk a little bit about our friend St. Patrick. Seems fitting since it's St. Patrick Day. And there's a tenacious and tender love that we see shown in the life of St. Patrick, actually. You might recall that St. Patrick was born in Britain in the 4th century. And unfortunately, he was kidnapped. At about the age of 16, he was snatched up by Irish raiders, and he was taken into captivity where he was doing hard labor, I believe, at the house of a prominent druid. And there, for quite a while, doing hard labor in Ireland, his faith was actually strengthened during that time, and he had a resolve during his captivity that he wanted to escape and then eventually, though, return and share the gospel with people in Ireland. And as the story goes, and from what we understand, this is what happened, is he did eventually escape. He was able to find a ship. He went back to his home country, and there he spent a number of years learning the scriptures, studying the scriptures, learning the language of the people, but then he returned. And St. Patrick, through many difficulties, many strifes, you don't mess with druids, by the way, but St. Patrick was bold and tenacious and tender in his love as he proclaimed the gospel boldly, leading other people to know the Lord and encouraging the current Christians there. He continued to be a faithful witness for our Lord. One of St. Patrick's quotes is, quote, "I pray to God to give me perseverance and to deign that I be a faithful witness to him to the end of my life for my God." St. Patrick also said, "For daily I expect to be murdered or betrayed or reduced to slavery if the occasion arises, but I fear nothing because of the promises of heaven, for I have cast myself into the hands of Almighty God who reigns everywhere. As the prophet says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you." Go, St. Patrick. That's great. We can rejoice. That's one of the things we do, is we thank the Lord for God's people who have been tenacious and tender in their love for the Lord and may be encouraging to us as well. And I pray that the Lord would give us his eyes, his tenacious, tender love for those around us. You may be able to think of someone right now in your mind who's difficult to love, who God might be calling you to love this week. You got that person's name in your mind? One of the things that we can do is we can pray for that person. That's the way it starts. We pray for them and ask the Lord, "Lord," it's a scary prayer, "Lord, how would you have me to show love to this person? How would you have me to reach out to them? Even though they're a pain, even though I don't like them, even though they've been mean to me. Lord, please give me your love." Because we will not operate in our own love. It's only through the tenacious and tender love of our God that we are able to love other people. There's a song by an artist named Brandon Heath who says these words, "Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the once forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see." And whether that be showing love towards someone near to you, or whether it be praying for one of the politicians that you may not like, may the Lord give you his tenacious and tender love, and God's blessings to you as you show forth that love in the name of your risen Savior Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.